I find myself these days leaving myself notes. Does that sound familiar, that ring a bell? And sometimes more than a few notes. I have notes for things around the house. I have notes for things around church. Actually, I have many notes about things around church. Things for our finances, things for our cars. And I don't know if it's because, you know, I'm getting a little older, but I just find sometimes you need to be reminded of what you need to do. And sometimes it's good to be reminded of the things that sometimes we take for granted. And so this morning, we're celebrating the feast of Corpus Christi. Now, I'm going to rewind us 9 weeks back from Thursday. So 9 weeks back from Thursday was, anybody want to venture a guess? Yes, Maundy Thursday, very good. Wow, ding and ding. Bonus points, excellent. So on Maundy Thursday, of course, we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist, which Jesus did, but we do not hear the synoptic accounts where Jesus at the Last Supper did the four actions of the Eucharist. He took the bread, he blessed, he broke, and he gave it. We rather hear the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, thereby teaching them what true discipleship is, serving the Lord in love that gives and gives and gives. The Feast of Corpus Christi was instituted in the 13th century. There was a Norbertine nun, actually she was a canoness, and she found great, great comfort and great solace in spending time before the Blessed Sacrament. And so in prayer and adoration, she would sit and pray and kneel in the chapel hour upon hour upon hour. And in those moments of adoration, she received visions from the Lord, instructing her to go to the powers that be to institute a feast to remember and uphold the real presence of the Lord in the sacrament. And so what is the real presence of the Lord in the sacrament? We believe, and we're going to go through it in the prayer book just so you're sure, because remember, we're remembering and just doing a little primer, a little refresher. The real presence in the sacrament is receiving in a mysterious way that cannot be explained with words or cannot be rationally understood. It's receiving the Lord, body and blood, soul and divinity. He is fully present in a mysterious way in that wafer and in that wine that you receive when you come forward. And so in these visions, she was being instructed to go to the powers that be, as I said, and institute a feast so that the Eucharist would be remembered for what it was, Jesus fully present in the sacrament. So this was the time of Thomas Aquinas. And so Thomas Aquinas, great doctor of the church, influenced Pope Urban to institute this feast of Corpus Christi. And to this day, it is celebrated throughout the world in wonderful and amazing ways. And so on my Facebook page, I have a couple of clergy sort of, you know, things that I go to. And one of them is called Ritual Notes. And on the Ritual Notes website thing, they had all of these pictures from Corpus Christi celebrations around the world. Now, some of them were very, very elaborate and very ornate. In one, the procession was carrying, they carry the sacrament and procession underneath a canopy. There were two thurifers. There were two little girls dropping rose petals. Now, that would work at St. Andrew's, right? Yeah, it would. It would work. We may not be able to do the canopy, but we could get an umbrellina and do it and do the thing. There was one in, I believe it was Singapore, where somebody took different color rose petals and actually made at the foot of the altar a chalice with the host over it. And I thought that was really rather nice. So there are all these wonderful pictures of what's going on. And so what is going on when that's happening? Well, this is not about worshiping a piece of hardware. This is not about worshiping just a piece of bread. This is about worshiping the Lord himself, the Lord who is fully, completely present in the sacrament, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so the lesson this morning, if you had any doubt about what Jesus was saying about this, I'll just remind you, and if any of your otherwise Protestant friends would disagree, and no umbrage to that, that's fine. they believe, many Protestants believe, in a memorial celebration of the sacrament, where it's just a remembrance of what happened at the Last Supper. We believe something more, and I think John's gospel bears it out. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." So in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the synoptic gospels of the account of the Last Supper, when Jesus takes the bread, he blesses, he breaks, and he gives, he says, "This is my body. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same with the cup. "This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." The same, very same words that we hear in the institution of the in the prayer at the words of consecration. "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we receive in that little wafer and in that sip of wine the fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of his body and blood, his divinity and his soul. But what does that require of us? And I think this is where a little refreshment is good. Not in a way of chastising, not in a way of criticizing, not in a way of doing anything, but moving closer to the Lord in that adoration when we receive the Eucharist and receive it and we know what it is. So St. Paul says in his epistle this morning to the Corinthians, he is reminding the Corinthians the responsibility, the duty, and the obligation to receive that sacrament with all dignity, with all reverence, certainly with all adoration, but with all respect as well. And so, to take it one step further, if you would turn to page 316, I know you're not familiar with this red book. This is the Book of Common Prayer. It's not up on the screen this morning. 316 is the page we're looking for. Now, the Book of Common Prayer, according to the canons and constitution of the Episcopal Church, is that which proscribes and prescribes the worship that we undertake. It also, vis-a-vis that, is the authority for what we theologically believe as well. And so, of course, that's where the canon for the Eucharist comes in, baptism and all that. But the exhortation, anybody ever heard the exhortation read? No? No. The exhortation is a wonderful teaching tool and a wonderful wonderful tool for encouragement as well. So I'm going to read it because sometimes things that are written, I think, speak more than me running my mouth. So, "Beloved in the Lord, our Savior Christ, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood as a sign and pledge of his love for the continual remembrance of the sacrifice of his death and for a spiritual sharing in his risen life. For in these holy mysteries, we are made one with Christ and Christ with us. We are made one body in him and members one of another. Having in mind, therefore, his great love for us and in obedience to his command, his church renders to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, never-ending thanks for the creation of the world, for his continual providence over us, for his love for all mankind, and for the redemption of the world by our Savior Christ, who took upon himself our flesh and humbled himself even to death on a cross, that he might make us the children of God by the power of the Holy Spirit and exalt us to everlasting life. But if we are to share rightly in the celebration of those holy mysteries and be nourished by that spiritual food, we must remember the dignity of that holy sacrament. I therefore call upon you to consider how St. Paul exhorts all persons to prepare themselves carefully before eating of that bread and drinking of that cup. For as the benefit is great, if with penitent hearts and living faith we receive the holy sacrament, So is the danger great, if we receive it improperly, not recognizing the Lord's body. Judge yourselves, therefore, lest you be judged by the Lord. Examine your lives and conduct by the rule of God's commandments, that you may perceive wherein you have offended, in what you have done or left undone, whether in thought, word, or deed, and acknowledge your sins before Almighty God, with full purpose of amendment of life, being ready to make restitution for all injuries and wrongs done by you to others, and also being ready to forgive those who have offended you, in order that you yourself may be forgiven. And then, being reconciled to one another, come to the banquet of that most heavenly food. And if in your preparation you need help and counsel, then go and open your grief to a discreet and understanding priest and confess your sins, that you may receive the benefit of absolution and spiritual counsel and advice, to the removal of all scruple and doubt, the assurance of pardon, and the strengthening of your faith. To Christ our Lord, who loves us and washed us in his own blood and made us a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory in the church evermore. Through him, let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise, which is our bounden duty and service, and with faith in him, come boldly before the throne of grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.